In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Even in hell, the rich man won't believe. His arrogance instructs Abraham on the way of salvation. He wants a miracle for his five brothers. The word is not enough for him. The word cannot save. The word cannot turn their hearts away from their lust after luxury, their love of money, or their neglect of the poor. The rich man thinks that they need proof, some physical concrete evidence that the word of God is true, that they need some life-altering event or some grand experience so that they might believe the holy word of God. And in this, the rich man speaks from his own experience. He was a Jew, and so he regularly heard Moses and the prophets. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to listen to God's word. Listening to the word of God, though, was a task that was done to fulfill the commandments and to please God. He did not see this word of God as the very source of his hope and the joy of his salvation, but only as something that he could learn of how to be a better person. And so he put in his time and went his way. He may have known that word quite well, but he did not see it as his salvation. Since it didn't work to save him, he assumes that it also won't work to save his five brothers, that there is something lacking in the word. And so for his place in hell, he blames not himself, but he blames the word. He blames not himself, but he blames his teachers. He blames not himself, but ultimately he blames the Holy Spirit. It is tempting for us to think that we also must assist the Word of God in his work. When others ask us why we attend this congregation, what answer do we give? Do we point to the purity of the Word of God, taught for the salvation of souls? Or do we seek to assist God's word by pointing out a pastor's family, personality, church events, music, or other activities that go along here? We too can doubt God's word. We too can act as if the word of God is not enough to bring people in, as if it needs our help. We see this as we look at churches throughout the world. And yes, sadly, even in Lutheranism, we see screens up on the front wall, pastors wandering around the chancel during sermons, vestments that make the pastor look like just any ordinary plain old guy, emotional styles of music, catchy slogans, and websites with fun pictures of activities. They don't trust the Word of God to accomplish his work. This is what brings people in, they say. This is what people want. And so if we want to grow our church, we have to give them what they want. It's a marketing strategy. Now, they'll never admit to altering the word of God, but as the saying goes, actions speak louder than words. They don't confess that word, but they seek to assist it. By the way, the same thing can also be said of candles, of vestments, of altars, of bowing, of kneeling, of organs, of hymns. If we do these things simply because people like them, then we are not serving God, but we are serving man. We are anthropocentric in our worship, centered on man, instead of confessing the truth of who is present and why he has come. But our fallen flesh always wants to insert itself in some way. We are quite aware of the decision theology error, that we cannot decide for Christ or come to him in any way. And yet we still seek to inject ourselves through the back door by saying, okay, maybe it's not my decision for Christ that saves, but maybe it's how well someone could present the word of God to me that saves. We can't just simply let God be God. We always want to help him out. Like the rich man, our fallen flesh doesn't believe the word of God is enough. We want visible proof that this pastor is the right one. We want visible proof that Christ is our Savior. We want to see a resurrection. We want to see growth. We want to see numbers. And our American pragmatism leads us to augment the Word of God because it doesn't meet our goals. But what if our goals are wrong? What if our goal is nothing more than to preach the Word of God faithfully and to baptize all nations and to leave the results in God's hands? Perhaps we have forgotten that all are sinners, which means that all are dead in their sin. And last I checked, a dead person can't decide for anything. That sinners are hostile to God, they hate God. And while they may love religiosity or spirituality, they do not want a savior from sin, death, and hell. They do not think that they need that. So perhaps our goal should simply be a resurrection. All must be raised to life. So can your smile bring a resurrection? Can a friendly church bring a resurrection? Can music styles, a pastor's personality, or families, can they give a resurrection from the dead? Of course not. Only the Word of God can raise the dead. A pastor in this divine service, then, is not about imparting some set of information. It's not about giving people what they want so that they will keep coming. But it's about drowning the old and raising the new. For St. Paul encourages us to daily die to sin so that we might daily be raised as a new creation in Christ. This repentance, this death and resurrection, is our daily activity, and only the Word of God can accomplish that in us day after day. So let us not think that if we just had the right pastor, if we just had the right service style, or if we just had a more friendly group, then we would grow. But let us be confident that when we preach and when we teach, God's power is unleashed to accomplish His purpose. The Holy Scriptures alone can raise the dead because they only preach the one who has died and been raised for us. He was the one who was cast outside of Jerusalem's gates, though he established her gates. He is the one who was not given even a crumb to eat, for he is the bread of life from which a man may eat and so live forever. And all who believe in him, regardless of age, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of social status, all who believe will be whisked away by those holy angels to live at Abraham's side before their risen Lord forever. No man will be saved apart from that word of God. So Moses and the prophets, along with the apostles and the evangelists, preach Christ crucified to a dying world. And in that death, they find life. The rich man wanted a resurrection because he failed to see that the Word of God actually gives that resurrection. For it is the Word that healed the sick and the lame. It is the Word that removes all of your ailments and every problem. It is the Word that drove out demons. It is the Word that raised Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus from death. It is the word that flowed into many languages on Pentecost, and 3,000 in one day were baptized. It is the word that makes Gentiles sons of Abraham. The word is unlike any other book you can encounter. Yes, it contains information. Yes, we learn it. We grow in that knowledge and understanding. But the word of God is so much more than that. It is filled with the Holy Spirit. To speak the Word of God is to breathe out the Holy Spirit. To speak God's Word is to unleash God's power. In the beginning, the Spirit raised Adam's dusty body to life. On Pentecost, that Spirit filled the apostles. And today, that Spirit still fills Christ's ministers so that he might breathe them out on you. We do not help this word or assist it in any way. We simply preach it. We let God be God. We let the Spirit be the Spirit. It is his word, not our words. And yet, as pastors preach, they speak the very word of God. And the lost are found. And the dead are raised. And sinners are forgiven. And devils take flight. And hell is shut. And heaven is opened. And lives are ordered. And works are made good and godly and pleasing. Because that is what the word of God does. That is what the Spirit does. So in trembling hands, we hold this word of God, knowing that we are only one generation away from losing it forever. We must proclaim it. We must confess it. For it makes poor beggars sons of Abraham and raises us up to stand by Lazarus. It crushes our love of money, our lust for luxury, and our neglect of the poor, so that it might fill us with the love of God. And then we give, even as we have received. Hear the word of God with glad and sincere hearts. Not simply to put in your time and somehow to make God happy, but because this word is your sole source of salvation. It is your only hope of a resurrection. The word raises you from death each and every day. It raises you from death so that the resurrection at the last might be a day of great joy. Hear it regularly and often. Read it, meditate upon it, discuss it with whomever will listen to you. No one will speak with perfect clarity all the time, but it is God's word that saves, not yours. We do not assist it by our eloquence, but we trust that God's word will accomplish his purpose. We confess that word. We will not try to market the church or to make it centered on man, but we will confess the holy Christian and apostolic church. We will not be slothful, lazy, careless, or sloppy in our speaking. We will not be inattentive, carefree, or hasty in our divine service. We will not be reverent for the sake of reverence or ceremonial for the sake of ceremonies. But let us be deliberate, attentive, thoughtful, and faithful. We are not trying to please man. We are not doing these things for others to get them in. But we are confessing Christ and his word. As our lives change, God does not change. As finances increase or diminish, the word remains our constant. It is our love in riches and our hope in prosperity. It is our joy in sickness and our comfort in death. And only that word, not a smile, not a friendly congregation, but only that word will carry us to Abraham's side. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.